Welcome to the Jazz Notes Podcast. I am your host, James Stratton, and tonight we're going to go over the 24-5 Utah Jazz facing the 21-9 Los Angeles Clippers, the second game of this home-home game for the Clippers. And yeah, we're going to get into it. Again, talking about the 50th episode for this podcast coming up. We're going to get some questions starting to submit next week. I'll probably every other day or whenever there's not a Jazz game, I'll just put it on the stories for the Instagrams. And I think you can also reply on Facebook on them. I think I link them both. But if not, it's on there. Or you can just email me at thejazznotes@gmail.com. All one word, no underscores, nothing. So you don't have to worry about that. And yeah, you can ask your questions. It could be about what I think about the Utah Jazz as far as a potential draft, or not draft, but a trade deadline. I don't know why that slipped my mind. Potential trade deadline moves that we can do, or what my opinion is going to go into the second half. Also, anything like any questions you want to ask of me as far as like favorite moments in history for the Utah Jazz or whatnot from my experience level, or you know, whatever. But anyways, you can also ask me whatever you feel like asking me, and it might get on the podcast, who knows. Anyway, so let's get into the game. All teams have all their stars in, fresh for ESPN. I do think that the Clippers, because they did this last game, or last season, and I think they've been doing it this season a little bit as well. When it's non-national televised games, especially after like a back-to-back or one night after the other, they'd usually rest their stars and then have that those players show up, or they'll play the first game if that one's on national TV. They like to have their national showing. And so I kind of predicted this. I thought Kawhi was going to play last game, and they're going to hold George until this game, but I was surprised to see them both sit. But anyways, so everyone's back. Even Conley is back, and getting into this game, this first quarter, he does have the first 5 points for the Jazz early, so it's good to see him just picking up where he left off, really. But then the Jazz get sloppy. They do three like quick turnovers back-to-back-to-back. And it really sets or allows a LA 9-0 run into this first quarter. And all of those turnovers were just really dumb mistakes. There's an offensive foul, just really bad passes. Just not our basketball, not the kind that we're used to. The Clippers are getting all the shots they want right now. They're getting to the floor space, the lanes, any shot they want to take, they seem to be getting it. And it's just not a very good defensive showing early from the Jazz, not what we saw last game in the second half. And halfway through, the Clippers are only up 14-11, though. The Clippers are a lot more aggressive on the defensive end, kind of like last game as well. They're not allowing the Jazz do anything or getting in any open shots. They're really taking down the passing lanes, just like they did last game. And yeah, it's just not really working for the Jazz. They need to, whenever these defenses get a little bit more aggressive, they need to find a way to get the offensive clicking early. Clarkson is already making a defensive presence, getting two steals quickly, and the Jazz just seem to capitalize on these stops. So when they do get turnovers or whatnot, they just don't capitalize, and you can't get back into the game. You can't win games if you don't capitalize off of stops. The Jazz are not moving much on the offensive end either. They're really only playing these two sets with two players moving around. And then the other three would be just standing around the arc waiting for an open pass, but it's just not there. So a lot more movement needs to be happening on the offensive end to get it going, in my belief. Not just standing there waiting for the ball to come to you, just getting to where the ball should go. The Jazz are just terrible so far behind the three-point line tonight. Nothing's going in, and two times it's not even close to the rim. One was a Joe Ingles air ball, I believe, and then the other one was just a very weird off-bank shot from Donovan Mitchell where it doesn't even hit the rim. So going into the second quarter, the Clippers are up 31 to 23, so not very good defense, and our offense is kind of sluggish too because we're not having good defense. The second quarter, the Jazz are continuing to shoot terrible. No threes are going in, and there is no paint dominance at the same time. We kind of saw that with Rudy Gobert last game. Just a very aggressive, dominant game, and it wasn't happening this game so far. We've had plenty of opportunities to come back into this one, but the offense is just so flat. And at times we're just taking horrible shots as well. So that doesn't help. I mean, I know sometimes when you have to get going, you have to force things up, but I mean, it's not working at all this game. The Jazz are just making it too easy for the Clippers, just overall. They're not getting in, or they're not trying on the offensive end. And the defense is like ball watching at times. They're not looking after their own players, so they're getting some good assists in because they'll do a back screen or backdoor cut, and the offense or defensive player won't catch it till last moment. I mean, just too many points in the paint coming off for the Clippers. And they're halfway through this quarter. They're up 47 to 33, so they're up 14 already. Hopefully this team continues their second half dominance because this first half isn't our basketball at all. It's just not. And the paint is wide open for really any team this year. It's not just for the Clippers. I mean, every team that's had mild success with the Jazz so far are finding those opportunities inside the paint. We have really tightened ship on the perimeter defense, but I mean, the paint is just wide open and we can't have it. And it's just odd that the Jazz can't fix that one glaring issue. And thanks to a great finish for the Utah Jazz, they go on a 9-2 run to end the quarter. They're only down 8 still, so each team scores 26 points fast. But yeah, at one point the Clippers were up by 15, so it was really good to see the Jazz just buckle down and finally start getting into this game again. And it's mainly due to Donovan Mitchell just taking control. He gets into foul trouble early into that first quarter. He gets two quick ones, so we didn't really see him for like pretty much 15 minutes. And so that's another reason why the Jazz aren't doing so well, because we try to get him started on the offensive end fast, because that really sets a precedence for the rest of the game if he gets hot fast, and we just didn't have that. Now, going into the first half or second half, Donovan Mitchell is still taking over the Jazz offense since coming in late in that second quarter. Jazz finally playing ball on the offensive end, and the defense is vastly improved so far into this half. So whatever Quinn Snyder threw in the locker room, it really took effect, right? Maybe it was a chair, or maybe the entire like water system, the water cooler. But I doubt you did anything like that. Gobert is being flimsy on the offensive end so far this game. He's not doing any aggressive dunks. He's doing his little flailing layups, and I hate that. I hate it. I mean, the dude is bigger than everybody on that floor, and he should be jamming in every single time. And he gets on the foul line a lot more. I mean, this game he has, I think he's only gone to the foul line once. No, I don't think he went to the foul line at all this entire game. Let me double check that. But yeah, I mean, I get he's not a great free throw shooter, but it just shows the type of dominance he has during the game. If he's taking more shots, he's getting more aggressive into the rim. But yeah, this game he surely hasn't. He'd even attempt a free throw all game. So I guess that makes our free throw percentage a little bit better, not having him shoot. But at the same time, it just is attributed to being a little bit too flimsy on the offensive end. But on the defensive end, he's just doing him. He's making players turn around once they get in the lane. They see him. A lot of times they don't even attempt to make a shot. He has, you know, great blocks so far early into this game. Let's see how many they actually count this time. And Mitchell is just impressive so far this half. And sorry, I get on to ESPN and then it decides to start playing a video and it's in my headphone. I can't. So anyways, let's get back to it. Mitchell just impressive this half, and the Jazz start rolling. And they're up 64-63 halfway into third. So they race with 15-point deficit. So it's really good to see. I mean, when we saw that with the Knicks and with the Timberwolves and the Nets early into this season, whenever we got down big early, we just kind of rolled over and like, we can't come back. And that hasn't really happened so far, this big run that we've been doing. And Bogey has shown up tonight, and we've definitely have missed it. It was a good time to show up, especially during that 15-point deficit to come back into this game. The Jazz start now missing a lot of close shots at the end of this quarter, and the Clippers are able to get back the lead and maintain what seems to be a constant lead this entire dang game. I mean, I was a lot more mad than I am right now going to the game, and I have to just keep reminding myself, I mean, this team has won 20 out of 21. That is so hard to do, especially in this, and they played against very, very good teams, and, you know, you're going to lose a few. You're not going to have a few games that just go your way in the end. And I just have to remind myself of that sometimes. And the Jazz go down into the fourth quarter, 79-75. And we only allow 26 points again, but we still only do 22. So just not a great offensive quarter for us, even though we picked up the intensity on defense the last two quarters. Early into this fourth quarter, back and forth early. Both teams getting their points in the paint early as well, so can't get back in the game or start winning if we can't stop them, right? The Jazz now turning it over after a turnover-free third quarter. We didn't turn it over once, and that's how we're able to erase that deficit so fast. But halfway through, now the Clippers are up 94-88. And every time that the Jazz climb back in this game, the Clippers are able to take over again, take their right advantages, and pull out well ahead. We get down by two at one point. It was 94-92, and then the Clippers go on, I believe, a 12-0 run. And the Jazz just fall apart at the end. They're not making the easy layups. They're just not playing good defense. And every time the Jazz stop the Clippers, they get an offensive board and just no help when it seems to, you know, once the Jazz got down by 10 in this game, it just seemed like now they gave up. We can't get back into the game if we give up offensive board. At one time, we waste 44 precious seconds to play defense on one possession where we end up fouling Kawhi Leonard and him making two free throws. Might as well just fouled him early into that possession so he could get the ball back. And, you know, I wasn't thinking too much of it, but I mean, you know, 30 seconds left in the game. The Jazz are down by six, so not much hope. But the Jazz haven't given up now. They're playing very well on the defensive end, and they're making the game closer in, you know, at the very end. Mitchell is just huge at the end. He gets the Jazz within 2 points with 30 seconds left into the game. So it was just a great push in the end to get within those 2 points. But eventually, you know, the luck ran out. The Jazz fell short 116-112. Both teams scored 37 points in that quarter. I mean, it was a lot. We're down by 12 with about, I think, 2 minutes left. So it was a very good push at the end for the Jazz, just not giving up, even though it seemed like they did once they hit that 10-point loss. It just, that last possession where they got two more points or three. Maybe it was the three-pointer where they just left. I believe it was Patrick Beverley just wide open on the three. Damon tried to defend him. I was like, man, they just gave up. So, but no, they came back. Very happy of how they played at the very end. I know we didn't end up winning. But overall, it wasn't as bad as the score wasn't as bad as the game felt, really. At times, I'd look at the scoreboard. I'm like, man, we're only down by four. It just felt like we were down by a lot more. Just the way we were playing, it wasn't working. And it's attributed to how well the Clippers were playing defense on us. They really knew what frustrated us, what made it not work. And, I mean, getting into the stats, we were only 48% on field goals. So, a little bit lower than what you're used to. Thanks to Donovan Mitchell, he raised our three-point mark up a little bit more to 35% at that fourth quarter. It was a lot worse. I believe we started off 1 of 9 So yeah, just terrible start on the three pointers again. Offensive rebounds, we lost this one 38 to 45, and there's no reason why we should be losing the offensive or the rebounds at all. And mainly due to 11 offensive rebounds given up this game, and it really hurt us because one time they got a three, another time they got a 2-point mark, and the last one that really killed us was the 44-second possession where they got two offensive boards late into the game, and then they end up with two free throws. So 7 points off of offensive rebounds in that fourth quarter just didn't help us at all to help win the game. 13 assists on 41% field goals. That's only 32%. We'd like to see it doubled. So I mean, take notes, teams who want to beat us. You just got to eliminate that passing lane for us. And maybe we're just not putting our heads up. I think it definitely we're not moving around just as much as we used to. And I get it. Teams are tired. I mean, we're gonna get this nice 2-game break or 2-night break that is very rare so far this season. I think we've only had a few of those. So it'd be nice to get reset. We're gonna come home tonight. Be home for the next 2 days and then see the Hornets on Monday night if they're playing. I know they are under COVID protocols, but I think they play Saturday night or they play tomorrow night. So if they play tomorrow night, we're probably gonna end up playing them. We only get 10 turnovers this game, but I mean, just when it was turnover time, it was just the wrong time, you know, early into that first quarter where they went out early, so that doesn't help set precedence for the rest of the game. And in that fourth quarter, when we finally got the momentum back, having those turnovers really lost it as well. So, new listeners to the podcast, I like to see the Jazz hold teams under 25 points per quarter. So I have this like little running gag going on where I have to update it right now, where. Sorry, I'm just updating it right now. Where I have a little win-loss streak whenever we hold teams to certain points. So going into the second quarter, whenever we hold opponents to 25 points or over 25 points, which we did this game, we're now 9-4. They went into the half worth more than 50 points, so now we're 10-5. And then they went into the final quarter over 75 points. Now we're 12-6, and they scored over 100 points. Now we're 14-6. I mean, still not too bad, but that's attributed to our success. For those first-time listeners, when we hold teams under 75 points, we're 12-0, and when we ever hold them under 100 points, we're 10-0. So we're undefeated. Whenever we see teams going, you know, whenever you look in the fourth quarter and they're under 75 points, we're undefeated by a wide margin. So, our notes of the game, F note being the worst player of the game, ABC note best with A note being the best. F note of the game is Joe Ingles. I think this is the first time with him being in the F note. It might have been one more time. 5 points, only two assists, one block, and a turnover. I don't know what's going on. I mean, he was just so great when Conley was out and he was in that starting lineup. I hope he doesn't have any bitterness whenever he's coming off the bench, like I know he did sometimes last season. He's just a different person when he's coming off the bench. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I think Quinn Snyder does a very, very good, ingenious, I think, rotation onto the court where it's not like, okay, the starting unit's out. Okay, the bench unit's out. You know, it's not kind of that. It's kind of everyone flows together. I mean, the first offensive player usually comes off with like 3 minutes. Not offensive player, but player on the court comes out with like 3 or 4 minutes into the quarter. And it's usually Rudy Gobert getting replaced by Derek Favors. So, I mean, it's not like we're sitting there, we're playing 8 minutes, and then the bench players come in for 6 minutes, and then the starting unit comes out for eight, which used to be a lot of prevalence in the past. But I mean, we have everybody play together, so it just doesn't make sense him coming off the bench and not performing. It doesn't. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's just it was a completely different person out there, and I can sense it this game. It was different than it was last game, that's for sure. C-note of the game was Rudy Gobert. Really close to giving it to Clarkson, but I mean, just the way that he has a presence on defense, you can't deny it. He had 8 points only, which just attributes again with him being not so aggressive on the defensive end. And the Clippers actually did play pretty good defense on him as well, so you can't take that away. He had 15 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 blocks. And yeah, when you get, he pretty much had half the rebounds, so that's also to attribute with him. You know, not only Rudy can go for rebounds on the defensive end. I mean, we need to have, especially at the end of the game, everybody attacking those boards on the loss, whenever the Clippers have that loss of possession with a bad shot. Bino of the game was Bojan Bogdanović. He finally comes back alive again. Hopefully it stays permanently, because this last 6-game stretch has been awful. 23 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. A note of the game was Donovan Mitchell. He just really lit on fire from pretty much the end of the second quarter on. Not much his fault, because he was in foul trouble early. He had 35 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 3 steals, with one of the steals coming late during that crucial moment of the game. So let's get back in there. And I had to, great, I had to go out of ESPN. Let's go to NBA, because they don't play videos in my ear. Come on. So let's go over tonight's game. There's some pretty good games going on. So the first game was the Orlando Magic upsetting the Golden State Warriors, 124 to 120. Denver beats Cleveland, 120 to 103. 76ers pull out late, 112 to 105, behind a 50-point night from Joel Embiid. And then Murray got 50 points as well in that Denver game. Boston scores 121 over the Atlanta Hawks with the 109. So Boston gets back to their winning ways and they're not below 500. Memphis wins 109 to 95 over Detroit without Blake Griffin. Again, no news between Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond from Cleveland where they're going. Milwaukee defeats Oklahoma City in a low scoring game, 98 to 85. The Phoenix Suns beat New Orleans Pelicans, 132 to 114. Let me check. Yeah, 114 kind of shot away from it. Come on, don't do that to me. And then I can't see the Raptors-Minnesota game, but it looks like Minnesota won. What is going on? Why can't I see that stupid game? Sometimes I just want to throw my computer. Just not good with it. 86 to 81, the Raptors win. So, man, that was a low-scoring game, too. And, yeah, the Hornets game postponed, but Denver played Cleveland instead. So that's kind of cool that they were able to do that. And the Rockets and Mavericks game was postponed anyways. So I guess it was a good thing ESPN pulled out of the game fast and gave us the game. So let's go into the standings. The Eastern Conference, this is kind of how it lines up so far. So your top six teams at the playoffs end today, and they go in order: the 76ers, Nets, the Bucks, Celtics, Pacers, and Raptors. And then rounding your top 10, which will be a play-in between these four, would be Knicks, Hornets, Bulls, and Heat. And then the Hawks are tied with the Heat for that 10th spot. They're just right behind them at 11th. And the Magic, Wizards, and maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers, but more the Wizards are within striking distance for that 10th spot. Going to the West, the Jazz are still number one. We're only 2 games ahead now of the Lakers. I was hoping to get 3 and just really seal this deal. But so we're number one, Lakers 2, Clippers 3, Blazers 4, Suns 5, they're tied with the Blazers, and Spurs at number 6. Then that little play-in, if it would happen today, would be the Nuggets, Warriors, Grizzlies, and Mavericks. And then the Kings, Pelicans, Rockets, and Thunder are within striking distance of that 10 seed. So everyone but the Minnesota Timberwolves pretty much are within striking distance. So 30 games in, not too bad. We're 24-6, so we have 80% winning record. So really good to see. We're 9-1 still in our last 10. You know, good rest. We need to get a good rest going in. We still haven't played an overtime game, and of all the teams that haven't played one yet is us, the Clippers, Wizards, Knicks, and Raptors, and the Bucks and Celtics. So still a few teams that haven't played overtime games. It's kind of cool to see that we're not the only ones, because I was hoping for an overtime game tonight, right? I'm like, hey, that'll be our first one. See what they do. So overall, we go back home. We see the Hornets. Hopefully it's not postponed, but we'll find out soon. When do the Hornets play next? I should want to go see that. If the Hornets play tomorrow, they're supposed to play Golden State. It's not postponed now. So if they play tomorrow, we're really good to see them on Monday. If not, we won't see a Jazz game until Wednesday against the Lakers. Maybe they'll have us run to Washington, D.C. And play the Wizards. But the Wizards play tomorrow. Let's see when the Wizards play. The Wizards don't play on Sunday, so we could visit them on Sunday. We could visit them on Monday. Or even Tuesday, even. Yeah, we could see them either Sunday or Monday. I could see them trying to, you know, if our game's postponed and it's not our fault, us going to see the Wizards real quick in a road game. But that'd be pretty crazy to go from Los Angeles all the way to Washington, D.C. and then back to Utah to face the Lakers on Wednesday. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I'm not too upset. I'm kind of upset. I was pretty mad. The reason why I was so mad during the game is just it was a winnable game for us. Very winnable game for us. But at the same time, I said before, we even played the Clippers. If we go 1-1, I'm happy. We're still 2-1 over them. I know we can beat them with. So whenever people say, "Oh, you can't," you can't beat a team with their stars in like Kawhi or Paul George. That's a lie, because we already beat them with Kawhi and Paul George the first time we played them. So we can beat them, and tonight we could have beat them as well. And then getting to the All-Star game, they kind of announced things. The reserves will be announced next week. It'll be a very slap in the face to the Jazz if no Jazz player is in that three-point contest. I think at least one person is. And my friend Jordan talked about who should be in it. He thinks that I think Bogey should be in it. I was like, man, he was 0-9 the last two games. I didn't even want to talk about Bogey. I want Joe Ingles, mainly because he's the number one 3-point shooter on our team right now. Him or Conley, I think, would be a good 3-point. He wants Bogey or Clarkson, I think, is who he wanted to see in there. So at least one of those four, I believe, deserve to go into the 3-point contest. If it's not, I think it's a shame. They definitely should let it happen. We'll find out the reserves. Hopefully Mitchell and Gobert go into it, and hopefully they let Conley come in on its wild card. I highly doubt he's going to come in as a reserve as far as getting in with all the votes and everything. I think with the coach's pick, he could potentially sneak in, but we'll see next week. And then I guess they are picking teams, so my little rant last time about, you know, they're just doing Western Eastern Conference teams, you know, that was a dumb rant because I didn't really study up on it. I'm still mad that they're doing the All-Star game. I think with all these games still canceling and being postponed to a later date, I just don't think an All-Star game makes any sense at all. Just do all the rotations, like I said. Do the 3-point contest virtually. Do the dunk contest maybe virtually. That'd be kind of dumb, I think. But at least the 3-point contest and the skills challenge contest would have been nice. And just have some people do like a NBA 2K simulation or get all these good 2K players from the 2K league to play the All-Star game as a player. That would have been good as well. But no, they didn't listen to me. Like anyone would. Anyways, so thanks for tuning in. This is definitely not as long as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a lot longer because I was so upset all game. But until next time, hopefully we see or I talk to you Monday night. And as always, go Jazz.